Blog Talk Radio.
Health is a static process. You have to have health until you get, you don't have to have it, but you have it until you get sick. And then you tend to take this for that. Take this for that condition. Wellness is a dynamic process, though. It's not a quick fix. It's a conscious decision that you actually make on a daily basis to actually give your body what it needs to be well. When you supply your cells with the right nutrients, your cells can help keep you well. So which camp are you in? Static or dynamic? Health or wellness? Wow, this is Dr. Budweiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters, and I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time to tune into this broadcast today. And I know your time is valuable, and I am truly, truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes, I want to add to your wellness experience. First of all, please go to wiserliving.com. That's WEISERliving.com and register so you can become part of our Wiser Living group. The right side of that page is where you can sign up for several types of consultations. You can access the Wiser Living TV link and watch any of the YouTube videos that we've uploaded. And by subscribing, you'll get access to these educational videos, and also you'll be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can access Wiser Living Radio to gain access to our library of archived podcasts that you're listening to now. You can also view the menu bar that lists our mission and core values, seminar and workshops, recipes, articles, and products. All of this is at wiserliving.com, WEISERliving.com. So check us out and register free with your name and email address at wiserliving.com. Subscribe at Wiser Living TV. Follow us at Wiser Living Radio. Like us on facebook.com/wiserliving, WEISERliving, for those of you who are on Facebook. And you can connect with us on Google+, Twitter, Pinterest, LinkedIn, and Instagram. A lot of information to cover today, so let me get right to it. I would like to start today's segment off by stating the obvious, or something that should be obvious. Here's what everyone's body is capable of doing. It can build, defend, it can repair itself, it can regenerate, it can regulate, it can reproduce and heal itself. It can do all of these tasks on a daily basis if you continually give it the proper fuel supply or the basic building blocks to accomplish it. Now, the scientific and health community has been talking about the next epidemic coming, our way. And it's due to the aging of the baby boomers. It's called type 3 diabetes. Now, type 3 diabetes means that there's other types. I mean, I wanted to list all the it's over two dozen types of diabetes. But we're going to focus on three today. There are many types, as I just mentioned, and some of these you're familiar with. You're familiar with type 1 diabetes. You know, type 1 diabetes is where the immune system destroys insulin-producing cells in the pancreas. This is the type of diabetes, you know, that you were usually born with. Type 2 diabetes is chronic, or it's environmental. It's something that you catch or that you get once you get here. Type 2 diabetes is prevalent in places where people actually overconsume processed food. Yes, processed food. This is going to be a tough one because a lot of people eat a lot of fast food. In 2012, 29 million Americans had diabetes. 29 million. That's 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago. Approximately 1.25 million American children and adults have type 1 diabetes. So 1.25 million people have come into this land, come into the world with type 1 diabetes. And of the 29 million Americans with diabetes, there are another 21 million that were diagnosed and 8 million that were undiagnosed. So when it comes to those at the age 65 and older, the percentage is almost 26%. So a quarter of Americans 65 and up are diagnosed or undiagnosed with diabetes. There are 1.4 million Americans diagnosed with diabetes every year. So this year there's going to be another 1,400,000 people that will be diagnosed with diabetes. And that's not counting the ones that are either pre-diabetic or they have diabetes and don't know it or don't want to accept it. We'll get it as well. It's not even figured into this. 86 million Americans aged 20 pre-diabetes back in 2012. So it's a different group of people. Another 208,000 Americans under the age of 20 are estimated to have diagnosed diabetes. So it's covering all spectrums. That's a lot of people with diabetes. We all need insulin. That's one of the critical things. It only comes from we only thought it comes from the pancreas. But we all need insulin. In non-diabetics, it is released to help the cells take in a sugar called glucose that's needed for energy and for communication purposes. The pancreas also kicks out a hormone that the gallbladder needs. And some people don't have their gallbladder, but we can't go in that today. But your cells can only hold so much of this insulin or so much of the sugar. So where does the excess sugar go? The excess sugar is first stored in the form of glycogen. And glycogen is mainly stored in the liver. And that's roughly about 10% of it. And 1% of it is stored in the muscle tissue. So small amounts are also stored in the what they call the glial cells in your brain. So it's stored in the liver, it's stored in, this is the excess sugar now, liver, stored in muscle tissue, and it's stored in brain cells. So when there's enough glycogen stored, the excess sugar is stored as fat. So now the body has to change it to a triglyceride and store it as fat. Now, blood sugar doesn't come only from sugar. It also comes from all kinds of carbohydrates, good carbohydrates, not so good carbohydrates, bad carbohydrates, and this is from all of that processed and GMO foods on the market. So these carbohydrates, they flood the bloodstream with sugar. So insulin not only keeps the blood vessels that supply the brain healthy, it also encourages the brain neurons or nerve cells to absorb glucose. And when you start looking at studies and all this stuff, you'll find that at one time a lot of scientists and research said that nerve cells couldn't reproduce or regenerate, but they can. They can. So let me say this again. Insulin not only keeps the blood vessels that supply the brain healthy, it also encourages your brain cells or nerve cells to absorb glucose, which allows those nerve cells to change and become stronger. So if you have low insulin levels in the brain, that equals reduced brain function. So you could be any age. I hope it's a good compelling reason to cut back on junk food, because scientists and researchers are finding out that processed and sugar-laden foods could be a form of diet-induced diabetes leading to Alzheimer's disease. So by thinking, you know, I hope you're thinking twice before you consume your favorite soda. I hope you're thinking twice before you eat your favorite donut or donuts. I hope you think twice before you, stuff your mouth with processed meats and fries. I wonder why they call them French fries when France, I don't even think they have fries. Maybe they do, but are they actually French fries or just, so they call them chips or whatever. You could keep your mind intact and as sharp as a razor throughout your lifetime if you just reduce the foods that are in the center aisle and just eat a high-quality carbohydrate, which I'll talk about a little later. I mean, you could keep your mind intact. Age has nothing to do with it, really. You know, because I'm saying that because over 100 years ago, a neuropathologist named, I think it was Aloise Alzheimer. Last name was Alzheimer. So obviously you know where Alzheimer's comes from. Well, this neuropathologist noticed that an odd form of protein was taking the place of normal brain cells. But how they got there was a mystery for many decades. So now in the 21st century, what's becoming clear is that a lack of insulin or insulin resistance not only negatively affects your brain cells, giving you a type of a brain fog, it may be the reason for the buildup of plaque, this plaque in your vessels. Whereas if it happens from the neck down, you know, we call it atherosclerosis. And then this woman by the name of Suzanne de la Monte, M-O-N-T-E, another neuropathologist at Brown University this time, she found that when insulin is blocked from the brain, there would be a physical mutation and signs of Alzheimer's. The fact that Alzheimer's can be associated with low levels of insulin in the brain is the reason why more researchers have started calling it type 3 diabetes or diabetes of the brain. It's sugar or carbohydrates is kind of lurking in there somewhere. So here's what we know. We know that the standard American diet is a fast track not only to obesity, but to type 2 diabetes. And there's a list of factors that being obese will lead to, which I can't mention. If I have time, I'll mention it later on. But obesity is one of the problems. Being overweight, being obese, it's not okay. Because, society is making it okay. It's not okay. Standard American diet has something to do with that. Processed food has something to do with that. So if it's putting you on a fast track to obesity, it's also putting you on a fast track to type 2 diabetes, which means that type 2 diabetes is totally preventable. Diabetes doesn't even care, or it doesn't care about, what you eat or what it's going to affect. It doesn't cause, diabetes does not cause Alzheimer's. That's what I really want you to take that home. If you get nothing else out of this talk today, diabetes does not cause Alzheimer's. But people with diabetes are twice as likely to get Alzheimer's. And also that obesity alone increases the risk of impaired brain function. Diabetes and Alzheimer's have the same root causative factors. It goes down the same street to get to its destination, which basically is an overconsumption of the type of foods that mess with your brain, or it messes with the many roles that insulin plays in having a healthy functional body. So sugar is clearly implicated. It's implicated in all of this. Excess sugar is a major problem. There's a very strong link between diet and dementia, which means that Alzheimer's is not a condition we get by a roll of the dice or by chance. Oh, my goodness, I'm approaching 65. I'm going to start forgetting things. Well, you're forgetting things because you're saying it. This is not a causative effect. You don't get dementia, which they used to call senile dementia, because you're senile. You get it because of food intake. You get it because of other things that I'm going to list, because it's not just food. You know, dementia is not an elderly condition. It starts out in early childhood, maybe even in infancy when infants don't get good nutrition like they would with breastfeeding. You know, breast milk has good healthy sugars and colostrum along with a lengthy list of other necessary and essential nutrients. But a lot of infants don't get breast milk. And it's definitely not in that formula with the nice names. There are several causes for age-related cognitive decline. There's oxidative stress. There's mental stress. There's chemical stress. There's physiological stress, psychological, or I should group the psychological, spiritual stress. There's free radical damage. You know, each cell in your body is attacked at least 10,000 a day by enemies, enemy forces that, and at the very least, weaken the cell's ability to do what it's called to do, which means the cell, the tissue can't do it, the organ can't do it, the organ system is going to fail. So you end up taking this for that, as I mentioned early, as I started out. Is it a static process or a dynamic process? Arterial damage, which we know is atherosclerosis, that's diet-related. Insulin resistance. Just think of insulin resistance. It's now linked to type 1, type 2, and type 3 diabetes. Excess body weight. You cannot be overweight and obese and link health to it. You don't have a healthy body. It doesn't even matter if most of the people that you see are overweight. It's not healthy. So excess body weight is a contributing factor. Bad nutrition. I can't put more weight on that. I can't say that enough. Processed foods, nutrient depleted foods are bad nutrition, which will lead to an issue. Lack of a social network. Loneliness. You know, being alone and being lonely are two totally different things. You can be alone and be healthy, but loneliness will tear down your body and work its way up to your mind, even though it's starting in the mind, starting in the conscious, but it'll seep down to the subconscious, become your paradigm, your model, and it will negatively affect the rest of your body. And then there's electromagnetic chaos from computers and cordless phones and television. You go to bed and you have all these things plugged in around your bed, and you have all that electromagnetic stuff that's affecting you because your body has positive and negative charges. And then there's toxins in the air, water, and food that contributes to it as well. So no matter what your age is, the overconsumption of simple carbohydrates and simple sugars and the underconsumption of healthy fats is at the heart of brain dysfunction, is at the heart of foggy memory, is at the heart of dementia and type 3 diabetes or Alzheimer's disease. Also, heart disease increases your risk of dementia because of the stiffening of the arteries, which is associated with these amyloid plaques that build up in your brain. It's like you have all these Band-Aids running through your bloodstream, and it sees a little slit in your blood vessel, which is normal, and it patches it. Then another patch, then another patch, then another patch. The next thing you know, there's not enough room for the blood to actually flow at the temperature or at the speed that it needs to do. So your pressure goes up, and you have to take a high blood pressure medication. So there are several ways you can address the issues that adversely affect your body and your brain. The first one I want to talk about is muscle mass. See, muscle mass. What is that? What is that? When I said that, what went into your brain? What went into your brain? Oh, my goodness, I'm going to be a bodybuilder. No, muscle mass means you need toned muscle. You know, the primary source or depository of excess sugar is in your bloodstream being sent to your muscles to be stored as glycogen. I mentioned that before, right? Tone your muscles, it will burn the stored glycogen. If you tone your muscles, it will burn the stored glycogen, which means you'll have the normal shape of that muscle. And you won't get fat stored in the muscle because that's what happens to a cow. They eat grain. They get fat in the muscle. It tastes good when we eat it, but it's not good for the cow. So if that's happening, if you're toning your muscles, then you're going to acquire the next marker, which is strength. and you know some type of resistance training or weight training. It helps you to burn sugar, which increases tone and gives you energy, because you need energy to do all the things. You need energy to study. You need energy for your brain to function correctly. If you have good muscle mass or tone, you will obtain strength, which decreases your body fat percentage. So a lot of times they say exercise, and everybody goes out and do all this exercise, and they don't lose anything because you're doing it incorrectly. You have your thought pattern is not in sync with your activity. So if you tone your muscles, you get strength. You get strength. The body needs a fuel supply. It's going to be body fat. So it's going to normalize your fat percentage, which also gives your body tone and energy to function and energy to think clearly. So muscle mass leads to strength, leads to decreased body fat percentage, and it leads to the proper bone density. You know, dense bones are necessary to basically have toned muscles. The muscles and the bones need nutrients to properly function, which in turn will give you a normal basal metabolic rate. So that BMR that everybody's trying to measure and they can't really seem to get it right, well, if you do what I just mentioned, you're going to have the right basal, you know, metabolic rate. The thyroid will function correctly. Because the muscles and the bones, they need nutrients to function properly. And adequate BMR increases oxygen throughout your body and your brain. The oxygen is carried through the bloodstream by what? The red blood cells. So the oxygen helps the muscle. It helps the bloodstream it helps the bloodstream keep the right pressure to carry the red blood cells. The oxygen helps the muscle cells, brain cells again. It also allows your cells to do their job so the organ itself can do its job, which brain will be able to do its job. All of this muscle mass, strength, proper body percentage, a fat percentage, a good bone density, good BMR rate leads to a normal aerobic capacity. So it's not just getting on a treadmill or running up and down the street. It's doing the things I just mentioned that will lead to increased oxygen in the bloodstream to furnish or furnish the brain cells, the arm cells, the heart cells, the pancreas cells, and on and on. So if you have all of that, then that's going to lead to blood sugar tolerance. Blood sugar tolerance. So these type 1, type 2, type 3, and all these other blood sugar issues are going to have to go live somewhere else. Blood sugar tolerance is necessary in dealing with type 2 and type 3 diabetes. Everything that I've mentioned so far, muscle mass, muscle tone, body strength, normal body fat percentage, dense bones, BMR, aerobic capacity, blood sugar tolerance, reduces the stress levels throughout your body and your brain. Your brain is sharper, is able to handle stress better. This leads to a healthy cholesterol level, healthy HDL and LDL levels, healthy levels of blood pressure, a healthy body temperature of 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit. So of the 10 that I just mentioned, 6 of these 10 are exercise-related. The other 4 are diet-related. So I just condensed all of that into 2 things: exercise, diet, which means that exercise is important, but it needs good nutrition to fuel it. Brain cells and nerve pathways continue to grow throughout your entire lifespan. With stimulation and challenge, it will grow, regenerate, and replenish. When your mental activity declines, it will lead to your brain deteriorating. Diabetes and Alzheimer's are closely related. One affects the body, the other affects the brain. It is interesting to note that several studies have found that regular brain stimulation and mental challenges actually decrease the incidence of Alzheimer's and dementia. So whether you have these plaques in your brain or not, it's really not the determining factor of you getting mental fog or dementia or Alzheimer's. Because studies have found that cognitive activity can reduce plaque formation. It can actually even reduce plaque size. If it does that, it will reverse degeneration in many areas of the brain. So you got to exercise your brain, not only your body, but your brain. So what am I saying here? Never stop learning. If you are stressed out, meditate. Don't get caught up in, oh, I shouldn't do that. Is it right to do? You can't get caught up in that. You have to, if you're stressed, you got to meditate. You got to get that out of your brain some kind of way. And the reason why I say that, because I do know if you listen to the late night news before you go to bed, or some like what I call scary pictures, you're gonna dream bad dreams. Your body's gonna be stressed all night. So in saying that, here are 15 brain foods. 15. Avocados number one. Why? Because they're packed with good fats, vitamin K, vitamin C, B vitamins, and it keeps your blood sugar balanced. Number two is beets. It reduces inflammation. Beets reduce inflammation. It's high in cancer-protecting antioxidants, boosts blood flow in the brain, and gives you mental clarity. Avocados, beets. Number three is blueberries. Why? Because vitamin C, vitamin K, and fiber. Number four, and I think this probably should be number one, is bone broth. Bone broth is probably the best food for healing your gut and healing your brain because of the gut-brain connection. So go you, so go the colon. So go the colon, so go you. Bone broth helps the immune system function properly and improves memory. But you can't buy it out of store. You got to make it yourself. You can go to wiserliving.com and basically find a recipe on that. Number five is broccoli. Broccoli. You've been hearing about broccoli for years and years and years. Broccoli is loaded with vitamin C, vitamin K, and choline, which helps keep the memory sharp. So even if you don't want it as a grown-up, make sure your kids, your children, are consuming this. Number six is celery. It has high levels of polysaccharides. Those are good sugars, also antioxidants and anti-inflammatory. Number seven is coconut oil. This is one of the most versatile oils you can use. Coconut oil works as a natural anti-inflammatory. It helps with memory loss. It destroys bad bacteria. It coats your intestinal lining to help improve nutrient absorption. So go to colon, so go you. Number eight is dark chocolate. I know, okay, everybody loves dark chocolate. Dark chocolate has anti-inflammatories and helps to decrease blood pressure and improves blood flow to both the brain and heart. Number nine is my favorite, egg yolks, because egg yolks contain choline, which helps a fetal brain development in pregnant women. It has a chemical called betaine and produces hormones related to happiness, and pastured eggs have sulfur and lecithin that actually breaks down cholesterol. So eggs are good. Number 10 is extra virgin olive oil. I can't say enough about that, but just know that it is a powerful antioxidant, and it improves learning and memory. Number 11 is green leafy vegetables. Spinach, lettuce, Swiss chard, romaine, kale, collard greens slows down mental deterioration. And it also has vitamin C, vitamin K, and it helps keep your bones strong. Number 12 is rosemary. This is a very powerful herb. It protects the brain from free radical damage, nerve degeneration, and Alzheimer's, and strokes. Number 14 is salmon. If you want good fats, eat salmon. Turmeric is a simple spice, but it boosts antioxidant levels, and improves the brain's oxygen intake, and keeps you alert. Walnuts is 15, packed with antioxidants. It is packed with antioxidants. Also, as far as nutrients are concerned, you need glycol sugars from plant polysaccharides. You need protection from fat soluble vitamins and minerals. You need nutrients to help keep the endocrine system healthy. You need natural vitamins and minerals. And you also need gastrointestinal probiotics and prebiotics for healthy digestion and healthy immune function. And I would like to say more, but I just ran out of time. So let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. Listen to this again in the archive section. This is Dr. Budweiser, and we'll see you next time.